What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest. We are going to interview a very, very, very special guest today who has become successful after 34 business failures. One of my first mentors who I learned from not only just one, two, or three times, but eight times. I found him through one funnel away challenge and attended that challenge eight times back to back. For 2 years, he was the lead funnel builder at ClickFunnels for Russell Brunson. Eventually, he left ClickFunnels as an employee to build his own company, which crossed over $1 million in just 13 months. And then over, he had made over $6 million online. Not only that, he's also multiple 2 Comma Club winner, multiple times FHL speaker, and the king of offer creation. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple 6, 7, and 8 figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, let's welcome Steve Larson to our show today. Boom, man.
What's up?
Thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I really love that boom thing all the time you do that on the OFA. You scared my girlfriend at that time, man. She was sleeping first time I heard that. She was sleeping right beside me.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'm not really actually that aggressive in real life. I only was doing that to offend the right people so they wouldn't buy the product. You know, and funny enough, it actually works. So I'm actually a really chill dude, though.
That's cool, man. No, that energy was much needed at that time when you were starting something new. Yeah. I want to know your part of story, man. How did this crazy journey started for you? When were you bitten by this entrepreneurial bug?
The entrepreneurial bug for me really started, honestly, when I was in high school. And I started, actually, yeah, I think even earlier than that. There were friends that we started, some of my friends, you know, when you're growing up and you're on the playground, going to school and stuff, and people are like, what does your dad do? What does your dad do? What does your parents do? And I remember one girl said, my dad's an entrepreneur. And I didn't know what that was. And I was in elementary school. And I think it was the first time I ever thought about it or heard of what that is. And it just kind of logged in my head. Meanwhile, I liked selling just random knickknacks to kids on the street. And I had this little cupboard of stuff, duct tape wallets, and, you know, all just random junk. And I would always keep a list of who I thought I could sell it to and for how much. And from just a young age. And so I really don't know when to say I actually was bit with the entrepreneurial bug. For me, the official jump in was when I first got into college and needed to make some more money in order just to live, and started the beginning of my 34 failures. That's really where it began.
That's awesome, man. It's hard, man. You did it. A lot of people quit after 1, 2, or 3 tries. What made you to go over 34 tries? I'm interested to know that part of story. And you stayed consistent and made it work.
Yeah, for me, I think that it was like, I have this little phrase that I repeat to myself. If I want to sleep in, which I don't always win when I do that, but when if I want to sleep in, or if I got a big project going on, I'll just ask myself, how bad do you want it? And I always respond back, real bad. And then I just get up and keep going. And that was a big lesson my dad taught me growing up. He's like, if you're going to go do a thing, you got to want it. I was like, no, I do want it. He's like, no, you don't understand. You need to want it. Like, whatever it is, you got to go all the way. No one else is going to come and fill in that gap for you. And I think that's what some people they assume that since they have a product idea, they're going to go to the market and say, here's my idea. And then someone else kind of like spins the wheels in their car for them. And it just doesn't work like that. And so for me, pushing forward like that, I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I was like, there's nothing cooler in my mind than doing that. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to be. And that's one half of the answer, which is very real. The other half of the answer, which is also very real, is that I was just poor. And being poor sucks. And I'm wildly against socialism, and I'm wildly against, you know, and so I was like, I don't want to be poor. I want to be filthy rich, and I'm going to learn how to do that in my life, and that's okay. And so that was a huge fuel for me. So then I didn't have to, like, when I went to the grocery store or go to a restaurant or whatever, I didn't have to count and be like, okay, what's my budget for this? And when, you know, I wanted to be free of that. And so there's really two pains, or two fuel sources. One was, again, running away from the pain I was in. One was towards the pleasure of, I don't know, just being a business titan.
Gotcha, man. I still remember that. It's that story, man. It's still fresh in my mind, although it's been 3 years now. You shared the story on OFA that your wife was eating one meal a day, and your dad just said, be resourceful. He didn't give you that money, if I remember this right.
Yeah, it's my ex-wife, and I had a hard time feeding us. And it's not like we were starving, but I mean, I remember I couldn't get a job that would actually pay for our bills. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I messaged my dad and I said, hey, could you float us some cash? And he said, no. And he said, now I'm the oldest of six kids. I worked a lot of labor jobs growing up. My first job was actually in a factory, and I was it was an injection molding factory. And so it's right on the line with the heat calluses from my hands from pulling all these plastic things out of these huge machines, just pumping melted plastic into stuff. And anyway, I worked hard. I worked a lot of hard labor jobs growing up. And so to ask my dad for cash was not a normal thing. You know, mm-hmm. if I wanted to go to the movies, I paid for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have that kind of culture. So asking my dad for cash was a weird thing. And he said, son, no, if I give you this money now, you would not exhaust the resources you didn't know you had, right. You know? And I think that's just, I have three girls now of my own, and I just applaud that parenting and, to let the pain teach the kid more resources. But honestly, we're all that way, and especially in entrepreneurship. And so there's this moment where you hit the wall, and every entrepreneur hits the wall. You're going to hit the wall, and then there's going to be another one, and there's going to be another one. And the way that you respond to it versus react to it is all the difference in the world. And learning how to be resourceful when you have no resources, it honestly is where the coolest ideas come from in the first place. And so I don't think there's enough, we don't love the wall like we should. We should thank you, a constraint. You're about to grow me beyond what I would grow myself. You know, and I think that's the beauty of the game itself.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's hard for people to sometimes do that. And that was a powerful story, man. When I heard this first time, it touched me right at the point. But what was your story behind? Like, how did you become into that OFA coach? How did you land into that?
So when I started working for ClickFunnels the first time, so I was there for 2 years. And then I was the latter half of that time there, I was the Two Comma Club coaching coach. There was, right. I was the only coach. There's 600 students. And so I've seen so many scenarios on how funnels work in this industry versus that one, and how the offer is best in this one versus that one. And like same principles, but just applied differently per industry. And when I left that job, about 6 months later, that's when Russell reached out and he's like, hey man, I'm going to do this thing called a challenge. And that's kind of when they were new. No one really knew what they were. And he's like, I want you to come be the guy that, like, I'll teach him something, but then you'll come on and like kind of like really encourage him to come do it. And I told him no. I said no, because I was like, that's not my personality. Like, I'm not going to go do that. No thing, you know. And he goes, come on, man, this is in your DNA. You were born for this. And he had to kind of convince me to be the One Funnel Away coach. And what I was really supposed to do in that was just to kind of come on and be a little bit like rah-rah motivational.
Yeah.
But I had spent so much time, even up to that point, with the customer using funnels that I knew where they were going to get stuck. And so I kind of took the ball and just ran with it for a while, which is, Russell told me later, he's like, yeah, I also knew that you're going to do that. And I wanted that. And so that's where it really came from the One Funnel Away stuff.
Gotcha. And was it that at that time you decided to become like, get this title of offer king and all that, or was it later in the years?
That was,
I think Russell gave you that title, right?
Around that time,
2018-ish. Gotcha. Yeah. What's the thing, like, you say that you have been coached so many people in the Two Comma Club as well. What's the one thing that this whole thing did for you that you didn't expect it in the initial?
Yeah, help me find my voice. And also, when you're coaching that many people, you learn really fast because you get a chance to see how the same framework fits in so many different scenarios, which is really what a framework is. You know, right. Most people's frameworks are really just a process. Big difference between a framework and a process. And so it's not a true framework. But when you coach that many people, you're getting a chance to see how many, you know, it grows you fast. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are like, oh, what's my stamp going to be in this life? What am I going to be when I grow up? What's my purpose? What's my ClickFunnels, you know? And I have those same questions. And I think just rep after rep after rep, you get a chance to see what you don't want to do very quickly. Also, it just helps you find what you want to do and what you want to be. And the Capital's Pig thing for me, like that started unfolding around the same time as the One Funnel Away stuff. And then it wasn't until like really in the last year, maybe two, that I was like, I'm going all in on Capital's Pig.
Right.
And I think most people will compare where I am with where they are and be like, I don't know what my Capital's Pig is going to be. Therefore, I can't stand. I have to stand right here until I know. And it's like, you figure out while you go. You never figure out. Just you can't steer a parked car. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly. And what's your plan with this, taking this now whole brand of capitalism into building a big empire, like down the road, if you think about 10 years, 20, 50 years from now, how do you see it as?
I see this as a... Man, I want to be the Joe Rogan of Capital's Pig. I want the stage to be the nation. I want to go just piss off all the socialists, which is really easy. Just have goals and just actively take a dump on all the stuff that is happening in this nation. And I, which is going to be really fun. But I think I'm just going to be professional feather ruffler. I'm very excited to go. Continue to write my own books. Russell and I are co-authoring a book now, which I'm very excited about. To speak at Funnel Hacking Live again, which is cool. But
yeah, congrats.
Thanks. I'm excited about that. But the Capital's Pig thing, though, is I've realized like it's the umbrella that I can do all of my stuff under. And so I'm just going to go all in with it. And I mean, my goal is to have, you know, 100,000 subscribers on the newsletter. And, you know, I want to go big, really big mass stuff with that. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's good.
I want to say the torch that Robert Kiyosaki's going to put down because he's a lot older now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a big vision that you're carrying. I love that. Absolutely. It's always the one side of people, again, agree. Some people don't agree. I love that part with the goal that you are, you know, you have a mission to go towards it. That's cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, excited for it.
Absolutely. And on the other side, I keep on saying I follow Marley too. She was on our show. So how does that, you are more into the YouTube and all starting agency. I think you guys started an agency. So how's that transition going into?
Yeah, we had it for about a year, but we decided she wanted to make a different style of video and go a different route. And I kind of wanted to, I felt like I was not on purpose, but it was starting to take me away from Capital's Pig stuff. So we actually don't do that stuff together anymore.
Oh, okay. And are you doing that of our mastermind that you were doing? I think the live events? Is that still going on?
I love it. Yeah. I have two core events. One is OfferMind, which teaches entrepreneurship in the fewest steps. The other one is OfferLaunch, which is marketing in the fewest steps. And it focuses on the fact that those are two very different roles and mentalities. And new entrepreneurs think that entrepreneurship is marketing. And it is not at all. And it's usually why people's funnels don't work is because they think that a funnel is marketing and entrepreneurship. It's not at all. Totally different mindset, totally different skill set. So that's, still got those going.
Cool, man. Cool. And if people want to get the details, I want to personally attend that event, man, but for sure. I think you held in Florida or something, or Orlando. I want to get the details.
I've had the event in a few different places. OfferLaunch is my yearly event, and OfferMind's kind of the monthly one that kind of helps you get your offer up and out the door quickly.
Cool, man. Cool. So for the people, as you were touch base point on the funnel building and all, people who are starting out and building from scratch, a lot of time, again, they are feeling like, you have done affiliate marketing, you have done funnel building, you have been offer king and all that things you have tried. What would you suggest if you have to start over again, if Steve Larson has to start over again, what was the first business model would you pick and how would you scale that up?
Yeah, I love this question. This is such a good question because I did start over again. At the beginning of this year, I turned everything off and completely started over. And it's because of this, the question you just asked. In the prior 5 years, I you know, I did well. I sold, you know, I don't know the exact number, 13, 14 million, 15 million kind of range, you know, which is good, obviously. But the problem is that, dude, I'll just be vulnerable. Here it is. This is really where the crack started for me, is when I started going through my divorce. And when I was going through my divorce, they split your assets. And so a business valuator came in, and at the time I was crossing like 8 million and collected. And my little baby business was only worth like $500,000. And I was ticked. I was like, wait, there's no way. Like, in one sense, I was very grateful, you know, but in another, I was like, what? Why? This makes no sense to me. And it was this tremendous blessing, because I had to take a hard look on the fact that, you know, the skills that I was getting very good at was customer acquisition, you know, at break even or better using the internet. But building enterprise value was a completely different conversation, and building something that's actually worth something. And so that for me really started about 3 years ago. And it just threw my head for a huge loop. And so I know for a while, there's a part of my audience was like, where'd you go? What are you doing? I was like, well, this is it, actually. As I was trying to figure out, like, what's my next 10 years? What am I going to go do? What's the business model that's going to help me go have the impact I really want to have in the world? Push this really, really far, you know, build the business model that sustains that, so that I have time to go interview the huge people of this nation on capitalism and of the world, and try to save a sinking ship, in my opinion. And so for me, it's all continuity now. Everything's continuity. I rebuilt everything starting at the beginning of this year. We're still in the middle of it, but having a ton of fun. I'm in more flow now than I've been in 3 years easily. And going all in on the capitalism stuff. And so everything's continuity. And what I have set up as is three different tiers of it. So you come in and it's like, hey, here's the newsletter. And I'm teaching stuff that is on the top of my head. You know, then there's the Capitalist Pig Club, which is like really aggressive swag that I send out once a month to them. we're making some really aggressive stuff. So I'm psyched for it. It's anyway. And then there's like the coaching program, and like all of it, instead of doing like the old model of info products, where it's like just this one-off sales, which is what most of the internet marketing world does, it's you still do parts of that, but blended in way more of this continuity aspect of it, which has been a big blessing, because it actually has allowed for more support for the person who comes in one of your programs. More support, more handholding. The success rate goes up. The consumption of what they purchased goes higher. Like, it's not just like, oh, cool, it's continuity. It's actually like I've noticed a vastly superior business model. And that's been really fun for me to go build. And anyway, that was a long answer to your question, but that's basically what I love it.
No, it opens up my one of the side of the mind where I'm into the business coaching. And I was, from a long time, I'm thinking about, still in the process, like, how can I turn my coaching business, have a high ticket and elite offer, to a continuity offer? At the same time, sometimes I feel like scared. Should I go into it? Is it worth it? Would I not, you know, spoil everything?
Right.
Yeah. If it comes to, no, I mean.
Oh, no, no, it doesn't spoil anything. No, no. There's another book coming out soon. Russell wrote a book called Lynchpin, and I got to write the foreword for it, which is really cool. And as if we're doing this right now, I don't know if it's out. Go check it out, though, if this is a later time. I think it's coming out soon. But it goes deep into this whole model. And I sent a message to Russell after I read it, and I was like, dude, this is good. Like, I thought that all your secrets were out, you know, and in your secrets trilogy. But like, it feels like the book is written a little bit differently. Like, you can tell his skill in writing has gone up as well. And so I was like, this feels like, it's almost like we're reading the notes that Russell would take while he's executing his own secrets books. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the insight. Whereas like the Secrets trilogy before was, you know, very, you know, how to tell your message or your story as an expert, you know, how to get traffic, how to build the funnel piece. This one is more into the, let's turn this all into a business model that's actually sustainable kind of conversation, which the other books haven't really had the space for that type of conversation. So I think it's going to help a lot of people with it. But It's right down Sally.
Yeah, no, and, I think Russell shared in the 2CCX coaching this time in Mexico. I want to be a part of that thing.
Yeah.
I'm interested to that. I'm going to join this year.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. What's the next thing for Steve, man?
For me, I'm doing my event, Offer Launch, and I've got this awesome event studio, and I think events are the best way still to put a product out.
Right.
Events are like the one marketing strategy that corporate world also uses. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I'm not going to see Apple do a 5-day challenge, but they do events. You know what I mean? And like, so events are like, they're still my favorite thing to go do to launch anything. It's the fastest thing to stand a company up, forces you to figure out your front ends to get traffic, forces you to figure out your back end for back end sales. Like, an event stands the necessities up very quickly. So I'm helping people run their events out of my place and automate it. So that's what I'm doing.
That's interesting, man. And people, if they want to get more details, what is the link or URL people can go to that to find more details on it?
That's nice of you. Appreciate that. Honestly, just offerlaunch.com.
Oh, that's simple and sweet. You already got the domain. Cool. I'm going to put in that link in the show notes down there. Any last message for our buddy entrepreneurs? I know you have limited time. So thank you so much, first of all.
I'll just say keep going. You know, it's a fun game, but as long as you look at it like that, then it becomes fun. Otherwise, it can be really intense. I think the thing that most people don't realize is that it grows you as fast as it grows a company. And then you also realize that you are what is needing to change in order to change the business. And I didn't want that to be the answer when I was coming through the ranks. You know what I mean? I sat this far from Russell, right? I got long arms, but I could touch his back side to side. And I told him once, I said, mindset sucks. Mindset's stupid. I'm so tired of people talking about mindset. And he just looked at me and he just smiled. He was like, you're an idiot. He's like, it's all mindset. And I told him, I was like, dude, just give me the formula. Right. I knew at the time. This was like 8 years ago. I'm like, just give me the formula, man. 1+1=success. That's what it's supposed to be. And he's like, I totally agree with you. It just doesn't work that way. And I was like, no, just get out of mindset stuff, man. I want those. Give me the strategies. I want the tactics and the principles. And so I think it's really, I'm not saying just because I went through that, everyone else does also, but it's super common where you're like, I don't care about the mindset stuff. Doesn't matter if I'm going to keep growing. I just, give me the formulas, Steven. But what you realize is that all these frameworks that we teach is kind of like building, it's like showing someone how to make a Ferrari. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with the plans on making the Ferrari. The issue is that a 5-year-old gets in the driver's seat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so
often someone's like, this doesn't work. I'm like, yes, it does. You just, no offense, but let's be coachable here on the fact that you're probably a 5-year-old trying to get in a driver's seat of a Ferrari. Of course, you're going to think it doesn't work. You can't reach the pedals, but there's nothing wrong with the car, you know, and that's more often than not the actual issue with people's companies. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that they aren't, frankly, skilled enough at being a driver yet and don't realize that it takes a new mentality and skill set. And so that'd be my encouragement, is just to realize, I call it the parallel journey. You're going to go and you're going to learn the skill set and this thing that increases your earning power. But the parallel journey is just as important. And it's the internal growth and the standing up you got to do inside yourself. And that's usually the one that actually stops people. And then the car doesn't work. It's like, no, that's not the problem.
That's 100, man. Yeah, I agree on that. I'm saying, like, if you have a broken mindset with right strategy, won't gonna help. Even if you have a broken strategy but right mindset, you still can make it work.
Yeah, totally right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve, for giving this valuable time and sharing all these gold nuggets out there. And we'll be catching up at FHL very soon now.
It's awesome. Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on here, Sahil. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. People who are watching us live or listening, stay tuned. We'll be coming up with another episode very soon. Take care. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.